Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to the All Cargo Logistics Limited Q2 FY23 earnings conference call. This conference call may contain forward-looking statements about the company, which are based on the beliefs, opinions, and expectations of the company as on the date of this call. These statements are not the guarantees of future performance and involve risks and uncertainties that are difficult to predict. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touchtone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Shailesh Raja from Batlivala & Karani Securities India Private Limited. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Yeah, thank you. Good afternoon to all. On behalf of B&K Securities, I would like to welcome you to the All Cargo Logistics 2Q FY23 earnings call. From the management side, we'll be hearing from Mr. Ravi Jhakar, Chief Strategy Officer, and Mr. Dipal Shah, Group CFO. Without taking much time, I hand over the call to Mr. Ravi for the initial remarks, and post which we'll open up for the Q&A. Over to you, Mr. Ravi.
Thanks, Shailesh. Good afternoon, everyone. Jhakar, Group Chief Strategy Officer for All Cargo Logistics Limited. I am joined by my colleagues, our Deputy Group CFO, Mr. Dipal Shah, and my colleagues from the investor relations team. We have uploaded our financial results and investor presentation for quarter two FY23, which has further been, with minor corrections, uploaded again. I hope you've had a chance to go through the same or would recommend that you go through the same to get a more comprehensive insight on the quarterly performance as well as on the plans ahead. This was a very impactful quarter in many ways. We demonstrated our highest ever revenue for the second quarter. We also demonstrated our highest ever EBITDA for the second quarter and also the highest ever EBITDA margin for any quarter. Strong performance is particularly delighting since it comes against a backdrop of economic uncertainty leading to challenges on the global supply chain, diminishing trade. Therefore, the company's digitization and transformation initiatives that we have undertaken in the last few years have clearly come handy in building the resilience in us. We have now reached a stage wherein the platform has been created, and we can continue to scale up from here without any significant investments. On the international supply chain business, the global ocean freight saw a year-on-year decline. However, leveraging our market leadership position and digital capabilities, we managed to grow our volumes and significantly improve the margins, thereby achieving a much higher EBITDA growth rate on a year-on-year basis. To take some examples, we have situations like in Asia, Vietnam, which had emerged as a major manufacturing hub alternative to China, did not see great volumes. The port volumes were down 30%, but our business remained stable. In U.K., where the LCL consolidation business went down by about 25%, we managed our volumes. Going to Americas, in the United States, the export volumes for LCL in this particular quarter saw a double-digit decline on the industry, but we have managed to grow our numbers. This is a demonstration of our capability in terms of resilience and our ability to grow despite adverse.
Sir, I need to reconnect you to the conference. Sir, we're experiencing some challenges with your line. I'll reconnect you in just a moment. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, please wait for a moment while we reconnect the management. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, the line for the management is reconnected, so please proceed.
Yeah, thank you, and looks like we need to digitize our investor call engagements as well, and we'll certainly look at the options at hand. Coming back to business, like I mentioned, the international supply chain, we witnessed headwinds in different markets, and despite that, we managed to grow the business, which speaks about the resilience that we have built in our business. As an outcome, we achieved the highest ever EBITDA for quarter two, witnessing a strong growth year on year and even witnessing a growth quarter on quarter. On the express and contract logistics business, we continue to perform well. The express logistics business under Gati saw almost tripling of the first half EBITDA in the first half of this year. Contract logistics business continues to invest in capabilities to scale up the business. The business is being demerged under All Cargo Terminals, which is a CFS operations, have also continued to maintain robust performance, and on the assets, we have been progressing well as well. In another significant update, I would like to highlight and share that in the board meeting held yesterday, the All Cargo board approved acquiring shares from KWE in the operating entity GKEPL. This is a reinforcement of our belief in management and the growth opportunity that the Indian express logistics industry offers. And having transformed the business operations over the last couple of years, as a continuation of our strategy, we are now well placed to further increase our investments into the business. On the real estate business, there was a major condition precedent which has been recently accomplished. And therefore, now with procedural compliances remaining, we estimate that the share purchase agreement would be signed with the Blackstone entities within the next 4 weeks, which would have a significant impact on our debt, which is already down to a significantly low number, with the net debt standing at about 543 crores, and the Blackstone transaction consummation by way of an SPA would have a further impact of 400 crores. With this, we are looking at a situation wherein we would be near zero net debt. And on that account, I would now request my colleague Deepal to take you through the highlights of the financial performance of various businesses. Thank you, and over to you, Deepal.
Thank you, Ravi. I will now discuss the performance for the second quarter of FY23. I'm happy to share that we have been able to maintain our performance despite the muted global economic scenario. Despite marginal increase in revenues, we were able to grow the EBITDA and the margins thereof substantially. All Cargo Logistics has reported a consolidated revenue of 5,300 crores, up 6.5% on a YOY basis. It is noteworthy that our EBITDA has also grown by 24.2% to 450 crores on a YOY basis. Reported PAT is impacted because of exceptional items. However, adjusted PAT stood at 226 crores, which is grown by 2% YOY. Now, I would like to discuss the performance of each of the business segments in detail for the quarter. To begin with the largest segment, which is the international supply chain business, it has shown growth in terms of revenue on YOY basis despite decreasing trend in the ocean freight over the last 6 months. International supply chain reported a revenue of 4,660 crores as compared to 4,384 crores in Q2 of FY22, a growth of 6%. Volumes for LCL and FCL have witnessed marginal improvement on a YOY basis. Both LCL and FCL volumes grew by 2% for FY23, quarter 2 on a YOY basis. EBITDA for the international supply chain business stood at 384 crores for the quarter of FY23, quarter 2 of FY23, as compared to 307 for quarter 2 of FY22, a stellar growth of 25%. We have been able to grow our EBITDA faster than the revenues on the back of focused digitalization and yield management. Going over to the next business, our express business. Our express business revenues, which falls under the flagship brand of Gati, has reported a revenue growth of 10.8% on a YOY basis and stands at 730 crores for quarter 2 of FY23. The EBITDA for the same period stood at 27 crores as compared to 17 crores for quarter 2 of FY22. We are witnessing operational leverage play out in our express business, and with increasing revenues along with cost optimization programs, we are optimistic of margin enhancement in our express business. Going over to the CFS business and the ICD business, the CFS and ICD segment has demonstrated a significant growth in volumes over the last year. Volumes handled for the quarter stood at 1,39,000 TUs as compared to almost 80,000 TUs handled in quarter 2 of last year. While Speedy acquisition boosted the volumes, it has also improved the export and import mix within the volumes. With larger focus on customer analytics through the MyCFS initiative, the business has been able to maintain robust EBITDA margins of 24.2%, also along with delivering a very strong ROCE of 31%, of over 31%. Moving lastly to our equipment hiring segment, the current quarter remains seasonally challenged. Usually the monsoons are seasonally lower volumes. However, as we stand utilize, as we see, our utilization stands near to 90% levels. In this segment, we remain committed to exit non-core low-yield asset and optimize capital allocation. Also to highlight, majority of these assets are largely depreciated on the books as we applied accelerated depreciation for most of these assets. On the balance sheet, the gross debt, this is an item to highlight, stood at 1,400 odd crores and the net debt stands at approximately 543 crores. The strong performance has resulted in a net debt to equity levels at the lowest level of 0.13x. Over the lowest point over the last two and a half years. We have been discussing our demerger plans in our previous communications, and the same is on track and is working as per timelines. We will keep the market updated with any new developments in the due course of time. We have been consistently providing other key comparative financial performance indicators in our investor presentation. One can refer that for more details. Thank you. Over to the floor for questions.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question at this time may enter star and then one on their touchtone telephones. If your questions are answered, you may withdraw yourself from the question queue by pressing star then two. Participants are requested to please use handsets while asking a question. We will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Our first question is from the line of Chintan Sheth from Samiksha Capital. Please go ahead. Mr. Sheth, your line is not clear. Sir, may we request you to reconnect to the call and we'll take your question next.
Hello?
Yes, I can hear you now. Please proceed.
Yeah, sorry for the audio issue. So my question is pertaining to the deal, transaction with KWE. So I just wanted to clarify that this deal is Alcargo owing 30% in Gati KWE, while 70% will rest with Gati Limited, the holding company, right?
Yes, that is right. This is in a way completing the Gati acquisition that Alcargo started. Starting with the acquisition of erstwhile promoter shares and followed by an open offer. And we have had discussions in the past to engage at a future date with certain terms and conditions. And now we have engaged in those discussions and the outcome has been a mutual agreement to buy the shares. And therefore, Alcargo Logistics would be buying the 30% shares from the KWE group, and they own those shares in two different entities.
So, but why should, if you can help us to understand why this transaction is routed through Alcargo rather than Gati, if you can, and given that the transaction is happening at equity value of 1350 odd crores, Gati KW is primarily the operating business currently for Gati Limited, which is quoting at around 2,050 odd crores market cap as of today. How should Gati shareholders look at this transaction?
Yeah. So, like I said, this is a culmination of All Cargo's acquisition of Gati, and at the very outset, we had engaged with the erstwhile promoters as well as with the joint venture partners,
right,
and agreed to engage in future on certain ways. And now this is a transaction between KWE and All Cargo,
correct,
in the operating entity, and therefore it is the prerogative of the two parties to decide on what the fair price for this operating business should be in line with the various, you know, terms agreed beforehand. Now, given the confidentiality of the agreement signed, it would be impossible to, you know, share all details. But what I can say is that from a Gati shareholder perspective, and I would also like to highlight that we are on the All Cargo Logistics earnings call, so I would also refrain from going into too much detail, and we can take it up in the Gati call as well. But from a Gati shareholder perspective, this now should facilitate the process of restructuring in Gati, and that should basically help expedite the growth path on which the company is going forward. From a valuation perspective, I would say that this is a private transaction between two parties, and therefore may have a limited context, is what I can say about that.
But if we look at the restructuring, the easiest way would have been, you know, that the Gati KWE, which is the core operating business, if Gati would have been owned 100% that part of the business, it would be easier to, you know, integrate the entire Gati Limited restructure. That's my understanding. But I'm just trying to understand how should we look forward once this the structure will be like 70-30 between Gati Limited and All Cargo, you know?
So this is the most simple way of executing the transaction, with All Cargo Logistics having the cash available from the internal accruals. In Gati, through the transformation initiatives, we have the company has seen significant progress, but still has constraints on the cash flow perspective. Overall, there are multiple considerations which go into it. Like I said, it's the culmination of an agreement which started, and there was a discussion between All Cargo Group and KWE Group, which share a strong business relationship, and therefore this structure has been arrived at. But now, with All Cargo owning the 30% stake in Gati Kintetsu Express Private Limited, this would help expedite the decision-making on the restructuring and help facilitate the restructuring as we decide on the exact structure going forward.
Okay. And by when we expect this restructuring to, you know, fructify, how should we, what will be the end restructured entity as Gati?
So this would have to be taken up at the Gati board in the next couple of months. The first step was to conclude, because there were certain obligations and considerations between All Cargo Group and KWE Group, and which are now being settled through this sale of shares. And now in the next couple of months, broadly speaking, Gati board would consider various options and then finally take a decision. And as the decision is taken, the decision will be shared with all.
Sure. Okay. I'll jump back in. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Rushabh Shah from Anubhuti Advisors. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. Sir, first question on LCL. So your commentary suggesting that the business is overall down in the US, UK market, but despite our revenue remaining resilient, so have our market share been improving in those geographies?
Yes, absolutely. And that was the point which I was making, that business has been resilient while the market has been down. The business has not been down, referring to our own performance. And against all adversities, we have managed to sustain our volumes, and which naturally means that we have grown market share in several challenging situations.
Okay. Okay. So any guidance on the second half, how we can expect this to grow forward?
So I would say that from a volume standpoint, we do not see a significant growth revival in the global trade. We see that for the next couple of quarters, the global trade performance may remain muted, and from there on it might start to grow. However, having seen this last quarter, which perhaps had the maximum headwinds, the headwinds would only recede, because a lot of one-time impacts which also come in when there's a sudden release of inventory and decongestion, all of those have been factored in, and despite all of those aspects, you see the performance. So from here on, the headwinds should reduce and the business should be able to sustain and grow volumes. And then on volumes, like we have mentioned, the ocean freight rates would continue to remain low where they have reached, but that does not impact our performance, which we've been speaking about for quite some time. And now the performance in the numbers also, you know, provides for good clarity on that.
Perfect, perfect. So secondly, on the express distribution, right now in your opening remarks, you mentioned that it was on an EBITDA positive. But when we see the actual published segmental results, I think there we have a negative segmental result in the express distribution part. So can you give any highlight on this part?
Yeah, I'll request people to comment on that.
Yeah, sure. So at Gati level, at the business level, it is positive. But when we pick up the segment at all cargo, we have to allocate what is known as the charge off for the intangibles, you know. So while acquiring, there were some intangibles which were created, which were charging off, and that charge off has you know, brought it to a minor negative amount.
Okay, so is this more of a one off or
so this is a continuous. So basically, when you acquire, you create intangible assets because the value that you're paying is more than the book value. So in form of goodwill and brand value, and these are in the acquirer's book are actually kind of charged off over a period of time, over a longer period of time. And that, it's more of an accounting thing, and that's what it is being charged off, and that's the reason you're seeing, you know, and it's being charged since last year itself, since the point of acquisition.
Okay, understood, understood. So last two bookkeeping questions. So tax rate was significantly higher this time around, roughly 35%. So any one-offs or should we assume this to continue going forward?
No, so there are a couple of things. One is that we received significant amount of dividend.
Okay.
So there is a tax related to the dividend, and it will also depend on whether how much dividend we will give going forward. So that once we factor in, probably we will take the deduction on the Section 80M. At that time, we will probably reduce the tax rate accordingly. So that is one. Secondly, on the MAT utilization, so we are also, you know, sometimes the amount of available and the possibilities of utilization of and the amount ability to use on MAT will determine the ETR, which is the effective tax rate. So there are multiple points by how this tax rate is calculated, and the short answer to this is that yes, this is one off, and you know, tax rate will change based on some of these parameters.
Okay, but we can expect revert to again 25-27%
In the long run, yes, this is the ETR is in the range of 25-27% what you can expect.
Okay, okay. And sir, this final question from my part. So the finance cost was a bit higher sequentially this time around, despite we have reduced our overall debt levels. So any amount relating to Forex, or was it some one of finance costs coming up?
No. Yeah, very well observed actually. Yeah, so we, like you are aware, that we completed the warehouses for Blackstone, and we picked up the LRDs, the lease rental discounts. So those kicked in. That added to a little bit of interest, but most of these as a debt itself we get eliminated from our books as explained by Ravi earlier in the call. So this is a temporary phenomena.
Okay. Okay. So more of a one-off thing which played up.
And marginally, you know, I think 50 basis point increase in interest rates, we all know the way everything is going. So the existing loans also, you know, are kind of going up by around close to 25 to 50 basis points from where it was earlier.
And also, if I may add on to that, two points. One, like you mentioned, in the coming 4 weeks, about 400 crore debt would get reduced on account of the Blackstone SPA being signed. Besides that, you know, currently you would also notice there's a huge gap between the gross debt and the net debt, which is on account of significant cash lying with us. So over the coming couple of quarters, we will also rationalize that, and that would see reduction in not just net debt but also the gross debt, and therefore an impact, a positive impact on the finance cost coming down.
Okay, but again, with this acquisition of 30% in, I think we are acquiring from KWE, wouldn't that again keep the debt levels around current levels only?
Our cash flows are extremely strong and we see them being sustained, so therefore the amount required for the KWE transaction can very well be serviced from the All Cargo cash flows over the next couple of quarters.
Understood, understood. Thank you so much for the opportunity, sir. That's all.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take the next question, we'd like to request participants to please limit their questions to two so that all participants have a turn to ask their questions to the management. Our next question is from the line of Chetan Shah from Jeet Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks, Ravi. Just two quick questions. One, can you give us some update on Nordicon and Speedy multimode integration in our business? One is that, and second, if you remember in our analyst meeting, also in our previous calls, you kind of alluded about some missing part in our MTO business in some routes, and you said that we are kind of looking at how with our existing business itself, how do we fill that and try to integrate and gain more market share, and where exactly is our business status in our FCL part of the business, because LCL will kind of doing reasonably well, but any update on FCL side of the business? These are the two questions from my side. Thank you.
I didn't gather the first part of your second question. You referred to, so I answered the first question on Nordicon and Speedy. The second question.
Second question, I wanted to understand that, you know, you kind of previously explained us that there are some missing routes in our existing book. And we are trying to fill that using the existing platform itself. So if you can give us some status on that. That will be very helpful, please.
Yeah. So the Nordicon acquisition has gone very well for us. We have been able to fully integrate it very successfully in the organization, and therefore Nordicon's own performance has improved, and it has also made positive contributions to the overall business, both in terms of volumes to other offices as well as in terms of additional profit margins. And that is one of the contributing factors to the sustenance in our bottom line. On the Speedy acquisition as well, it has allowed us to increase the volume significantly, also favorably change the import-export mix, which is in line with the growth trends expected over the next couple of years. So both acquisitions have gone in well for us. Speaking about the missing routes or the missing trade lanes, like we had mentioned, there, while we have a global coverage, there could still be certain pockets where we may not be as strong as the rest of the world. So while we are market leaders in several countries, and in some countries we hold as high as 30 or 40% of the LCL market share, there are also countries where we hold single digit percentages. And that is why the overall global market share is at about 14%. So there continue to be those opportunities wherein organically as well as with some small bolt-on acquisitions, we can fill in those missing links. That was the point explained in the analyst meet, and yes, we continue to look for such opportunities such as the Nordicon one, and naturally we would make an announcement whenever there's any such opportunity being executed and any bolt-on acquisition happening. But just to also add, as a follow-up point, these would largely be small geography-specific bolt-on acquisitions, easily manageable through internal accruals. We are not looking at any large acquisitions in that sense, since we are already well present across the globe. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Just can you answer about FCL part of the business? Where are we and how are we doing in that trade?
So while the global container trade degrew at a higher rate, we have managed to maintain a year-on-year growth in that business as well. And that is a business wherein we have been growing very sharply over a period of about 7 to 8 years, but still it's a very small part of a highly segmented and a much larger FCL industry globally, and therefore we do not see challenges in continuing the growth momentum in that. And in that as well, we continue to launch the product in more countries and expand in countries where it is already being marketed. So as I have mentioned in the past as well, I would like to reiterate that we would continue to expand our market share, and therefore we would hold on to our volumes even in declining trends while grow faster than market in a positive environment. So that remains same.
Thank you so much. Wish you all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Radha from B&K Securities. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on good results. So, so you mentioned in the opening remarks that one of the reasons for growth in EBITDA was the yield management. So with respect to that, previously we had discussed. So currently, I believe you are using 26 cubic meter of cargo in one container. So with respect to that, my question was, how much can one container carry with respect to cargo, and how has it improved for us over the last few years, and what is the average change in EBIT per TEU per cubic meter of increase in cargo?
Yeah, so you rightly pointed out that our growth over the last couple of years in bottom line has largely been driven by improved yield, which is on account of higher utilization. We do not share the exact number in terms of cubic meters per TU, but I can give you the direction stating that over the last couple of years we have made significant progress, and now we have reached a high level wherein we do not see any significant progress on the CBM per TU going up significantly from here, and that number also varies based on the commodity being carried, the way and manner in which it is being carried, etc. But to put it short, we have always been stating that the growth in the bottom line has been driven by the improved yield and not on account of any ocean freight which is passed through cost, and now that gets demonstrated as the ocean freight rates have come down and the yield has continued to remain constant. The improvement in the EBITDA margin, therefore, is also a bit of an operating leverage wherein revenues coming down while the yield being held steady, you see an upward trend in that direction. So that is something which we see would continue. We would continue to hold on to the yield largely while ocean freight rates may see some decline. And therefore, the EBITDA margin should remain constant or marginally improve from here.
Understood, sir. And secondly, could you tell us what is the difference in EBIT per TEU if we are using 40 feet containers versus when we use 20 feet containers?
So as a ballpark estimate, the cost for a 40 foot container is approximately 1.5 to 1.6 times, while it carries load of 2 times theoretically, but at least 1.9 times practically. So therefore, your cost comes down by about 15%, and therefore at the EBITDA level there could be an impact on that. But let me also state that largely the consolidation business that we do is highly geared and optimized towards the 40 foot containers that we use, and over the last couple of years, again under our yield management initiatives, we have further improved those numbers significantly.
Understood, sir. And so lastly, with respect to freight rates, like you mentioned that there is a challenge in the global environment, and given that 40% of our business comes from US, Europe, so could we see impact in volumes for the next half of the year, and also given that few factors impact the freight rates like availability of containers, and we believe that next year also there will be some inflow. So could you give us some trend with respect to freight rates in the near term?
Yeah, so ocean freight rates are likely to remain subdued at the current lower levels. However, as we have reiterated, they did not benefit us in the higher freight rate environment, nor do they cause any disadvantage. It is largely a pass-through cost, not impacting our performance in any significant manner. So therefore, the ocean freight rate would remain subdued and would not have any impact on our performance. Speaking about the volume, like I mentioned earlier, the volume growth is also likely to be muted, but given the strategic leverage that we have created by way of strong integration with the customers by way of digitization and with the operating scale and efficiency that we have today, we are in a position to hold on to our volumes in a declining market and grow and gain market share. So therefore, while there are adverse macroeconomic scenarios, we remain confident of continued strong business performance on our part.
Understood, sir. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Abhijit Mitra from ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, it's Abhijit from Aeon Yourself actually. So just to understand a bit on the valuations that has been put forward regarding the deal with Gati KWE or rather KWE. So just to understand that this 407 crores, will it have some other clauses which makes the valuation a bit lower from an external standpoint, or is it like or one should not read much into it? Because I think a previous question also tried to address that. Almost 2,000 crores of current market cap against that 1,300 crores of valuation. So how to sort of reconcile that? Are there other clauses or there clauses which are linked to the acquisition of Gati, which happened with, All Cargo, or how to sort of look at it?
Yeah, so I would like to make two statements in that regard. One, it is an agreement between All Cargo Logistics and KWE Group, which has been driven on the back of various discussions and engagements which are private and confidential in nature, and therefore details cannot be shared. But this is a transaction in private agreed between two parties, and therefore the price at which the transaction happens is a matter of decision on part of the seller and the buyer. And I would recommend that we don't read much into that. The second point I would like to clarify to your point, this is a transaction wherein there are no other aspects to it. All Cargo Logistics would acquire 30% shareholding in the operating entity Gati Kinsitsu Express Private Limited from the KWE Group companies at the amount mentioned. There are no other numbers or anything else attached to that. So it's a pretty straightforward transaction, privately and mutually agreed between KWE Group and All Cargo Logistics.
Got it. But and the second thing is that in your projections for 26, we have put forward, we've continued to put forward estimates since the analyst meet for Express Plus Contract Logistics EBITDA of 400 to 500 crores and revenue of 2,700 to 3,500 crores. How would you break it up? Would the contract logistics revenue be similar in scope as it's now, or you see a significant expansion there also? If you have to sort of break it up into contract logistics and express, how should I look at these numbers?
Yeah, so we see continued opportunities for expansion in contract logistics business as well, and that is the reason why we have made investments in both management bandwidth at middle level in the contract logistics business and also in taking over capacities, which means that as you would see, the bottom line has been somewhat impacted in this quarter. It's largely an outcome of capacity risk and the management bandwidth additions leading to reduced operating margins and higher SG&A costs. Now, these are naturally steps towards expanding the business significantly, and that is the direction in which the contract logistics business would be heading. And at this point in time, we refrain from providing further breakup within the larger segment of express and contract logistics. But yes, express logistics under Gati and the contract logistics under ACCI would continue to grow well. And the guidance provided is for both to put together.
Got it. That's all from my side. Thanks.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Anil Sarin from Centrum Wealth. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for the opportunity. I just wanted to understand, in this context of a slowing global economy, while taking yield management as well as market share growth into account, how does the erstwhile MTO business look like in terms of revenue growth on a 2 to 3 year basis? I'm not talking about Gati, I'm not talking about ACCI, only the EQ part.
Yeah, so, first, like I mentioned, the macroeconomic environment has been challenging, but I think the quarter gone by is an exemplary evidence of companies' ability to perform in adverse situations. And speaking of targets, we have also categorically stated the 2026 management aspirations for the international supply chain business, which can be referred to.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ronak Vora from AUM Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hello.
Yes, sir. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi, sir. Congrats on a good set of numbers. So what I want to understand is, in the last 2 years, what steps have we taken in the international supply chain business where our EBIT margin has gone up multifold?
Yeah, so thanks. And let me state that, it would be a very long answer, so I would refrain from commenting upon that. But prima facie, we have done everything to a very holistic transformation program. There has been sales acceleration to expand revenue, which has been done by expanding market share. On the cost side, we are focused on yield management, driving container utilization, leading to improved operating margins. And we have used technology to integrate better with customers and also to keep a check on the costs, thereby resulting in an overall improvement in our bottom line. So that's how I would like to put it. But of course, underlying each of these steps, there are perhaps 100 to 150 initiatives which are part of a comprehensive transformation program which ran over the last couple of years.
So that means even though the freight rates go down, at least our margin would be maintained, like, which is currently at 8% or maybe somewhat higher, 9-odd% is what you're saying, like when you said marginally higher.
Yeah, so I think the freight rate going down is no more a future scenario, but we're talking about past already. Freight rate started going down from April, and April, May, June quarter was the first one wherein we had an impact, and we demonstrated that the ocean freight rate decline did not have any significant negative impact on our performance. And this quarter, which we are speaking about at this point in time, has already seen a significant decline in the container spot freight rate. So therefore, to a large extent, that is already factored, and the numbers showcase the impact of freight rate in our numbers already.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, before we take the next question, we'd like to remind you that you may enter star 1 to ask a question. The next question is from the line of Drishti Jain from Concept Investwell Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. I would like to know that what kind of volume growth do we see in the international supply chain segment in the medium term? And also I would like to know that what kind of volume growth per year would be to achieve the 2026 aspirations for international supply chain business?
Thanks, Drishti. So perhaps what we can say is that in our opinion, the next couple of quarters would remain subdued, and therefore from an industry standpoint, we may not see any growth, beyond which we believe the growth should come back in. From a medium-term perspective, we expect that the nominal growth rates of 2 to 4% in the ocean freight rate lead to a much higher growth rate in the global LCL industry, which ends up being in the range of about 6 to 8%. And as we have maintained the guidance, and that would continue, we would continue to gain market share over the next 2 to 3 years. And therefore, you would see us growing faster than the market growth rate in terms of the percentage growth. We cannot share more specific guidance than that, but I hope that answers your question and gives you an idea. And that's the kind of volume growth we anticipate, which will take us to the 2026 targets that we have shared as management aspirations.
Okay, understood. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Udhay Prakash from Value Research India Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Congrats on the great numbers. I just have a couple of questions regarding volumes. The first is, can you please tell us what factors affected the drop in volumes in equipment hiring segment?
Equipment hiring segment is an extremely small part of the business. Let me first highlight that. And secondly, it's a crane rental business wherein utilization goes down during the monsoon because many sites stop operations. If we speak about as of today, as we speak on this call, the crane utilization is near 90%, which is a near all-time high.
Okay. And the second is, can you give us volume guidance for the LCL for FY23? Can we expect 2-4% growth during this year?
As I just explained, on the volume side, we would gain market share, and I did just share the estimates on what the market growth could look like.
Okay, my final question is regarding the tax rate. Can you please just explain what was the major contributor to this rise in the tax for the current quarter? I know you mentioned before dividend and MAT, but which affected the most?
Yeah, so this is the question. Is that which between MAT and the dividend, which affected the tax rate more?
Yeah, it's the dividend.
Okay.
It was largely about the dividend, which is been received, and but like my colleague people mentioned, the tax rates would, there's no reason for them to significantly change, so in the longer run they would remain constant at the standard number of 25-26%. Yeah, so these are largely one off.
The dividend, whatever is finally given to the ultimate shareholders, becomes a pass through and you get the benefit of that taxation. That should be accounted as and when we think of declaring dividends.
Okay, sir.
Primarily a lag between receiving the dividend and paying out the dividend, which creates the fluctuations in the tax rate.
Thank you.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, you may enter star 1 to ask a question. Our next question is from the line of Chetan Shah from Jeet Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Just one question on any fresh update from Jajar ICD, if you can give us some the status of that, please.
Yeah, no, thanks. So basically, the Jajar ICD would be connecting via the Haryana Orbital Rail Corridor with the dedicated freight corridor, and therefore is very strategically located to provide seamless connectivity to the western ports of Mundra and JNPT. We estimate that the dedicated freight corridor will become fully operational by end of 23 or early 24, and we would be planning our construction and other development activities to align with that, because until the dedicated freight corridor comes up, the opportunities are limited, and therefore we would like to time the capex, and I would say you should expect the Jajar ICD to be commissioned and fully operational in early part of 2024 to mid-2024, around that timeline.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question, please enter star 1. Our next question is from the line of Karthikeyan from Suyash Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon, sir. Couple of questions. One is, you spoke about the drop in volumes overall for the industry, and against which you've done well. Just trying to understand if there is an overlap in the, shall I say, circuits on which there have been volume drops and growth, or is there not too much of an overlap? I'm just trying to understand, is there any area that you don't cover where there's been a greater amount of drop in volumes?
Yeah, so we operate in about 180 countries, in which about 56, which is almost all the largest countries, we have our own offices. So we have a fairly global footprint. It's not about exclusion of trade lanes. Let me take a specific example. There are markets in which the competition saw a decline of 15% in exports. And talking about markets, large markets such as the United States of America, and wherein we have grown our volumes. We have seen markets like Vietnam, wherein the entire port volumes in the country went down by 30%, but we held on to our volumes. So there have been multiple examples of key countries across Europe, Asia, and Americas where competition or the overall industry saw a significant decline and we still held on to our volumes. So it's a clear demonstration of gain in market share and resilience in the business.
And what would have helped you achieve this if you...
All the efforts that we have put in over the last 2-3 years in digitizing and transforming the business and all the efforts we have put in the last 20 years in building the world's most reliable and the largest LCL network, which makes us uniquely placed.
Sure. And one question, I'm going back again to the Gati, Kinter 2 acquisition. You know, just trying to understand this. You speak about the restructuring. So assuming that there is an understanding that the entire express business will come to Gati, which I assume it is, would the valuations then be different from the price that you acquired from?
So the valuation today are valuations based on two parties entering into a private agreement and agreeing. Any restructuring entailing Gati would again be based on valuations to be done by the tier one valuers and following all the processes and guidelines. And the structure is yet to be finalized in terms of how we want to do that, but the principle is to bring in simplicity in the structure and make it efficient for the management to drive the business growth. And valuations, which are not between the private parties, would always be driven by, you know, a process run by valuation firms.
Sure. Thanks very much and very best wishes.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Our next question is from the line of Radha. Please go ahead.
Hi, sir. Thank you again for the opportunity. So, you mentioned that debt reduction will be one of the prime objectives for us. But for the next few years, given the guidance that you have mentioned, so we'll have a lot of internal accruals. So how do we plan to utilize this? Like, what will be the capital allocation policy? And do we have do we need to do any capex for the next 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, I will request my colleague Deepal to take that up.
Yeah, Radha, hi. So from a capital allocation perspective, Ravi mentioned earlier that most of our EQ, you know, offices we already have participation in globally. But one, we will look at acquiring balance stake with some of the smaller, ventures wherever we are present. Also, so there will be inorganic growth opportunities available, which we will keep monitoring. And if there are opportunities which fit well with our organization, we will definitely invest there. Our investment in digitization continues. Will there be a small amount of investment into digitizing our businesses that we will go for? A balance cash a little we'll try to make ourselves debt free, which we are very near to, and of course we look at options of dividend buybacks and many other things over the longer period of time depending upon cash flow availabilities. So that's the overall outlay in terms of the next 2 to 3 years that we're looking at.
And just one last question. So this is from a broader perspective. So looking at the freight rates for the last 10-12 years, given that we have seen such historical highs of freight rates in FY21-22, and previously we had seen such scenario in FY12-13. So at that point of time, our EBIT per TU trajectory was largely in line with freight rates. But this time, like in 2Q call only, 2Q results as well, we have seen that despite falling freight rates, our EBIT per TU has been constantly improving. So, from a broader perspective, can you give us like what dynamics has changed for the business?
Like I just answered, it is the transformation initiatives over the last 2 years leading to improved utilization and operating leverage by way of sales acceleration, significant expansion in market share, digitization. All of those initiatives have led to a strong yield management program, and these are the numbers which are an outcome of that. The ocean freight rates are largely delinked, and that is what one could easily see from comparing the performance over the last four quarters, wherein the ocean freight rates went up and then down, and now significantly down in the previous quarter, which we are discussing right now. So I think these four quarters provide enough range of the spot container freight rate index to analyze and evaluate the impact.
Yeah, thank you, sir. All the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ravi Mehta from Deep Financial. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Thanks for the opportunity. Most of the questions are answered. Just one small observation that when I look at sequential volumes in the MTO segment, it's the mix, I think, shifting towards LCL volumes in the overall. And is that helping the EBIT per TU improve despite falling realizations in a softer freight environment? So is that observation correct? And any comments like, yeah.
Yes, that observation is very right. LCL business is more profitable given the complexities involved, and therefore a higher share of LCL would mean a higher EBIT per TU. So that's a good and the right observation. Thank you.
And when you say that, you know, the next couple of quarters you expect the market to be soft, is this a shift in favor of LCL possible, like from whatever historic experience observations you must have had? Just to get some color, probably next couple of quarters, can this be a trend?
Yeah, so typically what happens is, you know, and as one could naturally understand, when the demand goes down, try to break their supply chains and ship smaller consignments. So therefore, that should lead to slight improvement in the LCL market share. And that is what, you know, we've sometimes defined our business as, you know, the business resilience comes from digital play as well as from the business model itself. When there's a contraction in the trade, the LCL is less impacted because the very reason you highlighted, wherein the LCL sometimes finds growth by way of, you know, breakdown of supply chains as well. And likewise, whenever there's an economic environment which is more challenging, you would typically find, you know, so there are inherent hedges built in the business. And as you rightly pointed out, that is indeed correct that when there's a slowdown, there is a cushion on the LCL side. However, in this quarter gone by, that cushion didn't really work because a lot of, you know, large accounts did their own consolidation, which is a one-time effect which comes in. So there was a little bit more adverse situation, which is why we saw declining market trend. But like I said, despite all those challenges, we held on to our volume. So now from here on, we should actually be able to see growth in volumes if the markets remain flat.
And do we do entire business at the spot rate? Meaning just trying to understand whether the effect of freight is reflecting in Q2 or there can be some lag effect of falling freight?
No, there is no lag effect per se, but I would request you to go through the investor presentation when we have charted out what the cost per TU for us is and what the cost per TU in the spot rates are. Spot rates are much higher and much more volatile. Most of the global trade, whether it's, you know, being carried by EQ Worldwide or whether it's being carried by Maersk or Hapag-Lloyd, most of that trade goes on contractual rates, and those rates are lower and do not vary to that extent. And therefore, you would find that our revenue per TU is much less volatile as compared to these spot rates.
Sure, thank you. That helps.
Yeah, thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vignesh Iyer from Sequent Investments. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. Congratulations on a good set of numbers. I just wanted to, if I'm wrong, please correct me. In my observation, would it be fair to say that the second half of the year is usually better for the company as compared to H1?
Yes, from a historic trend perspective, the second half of the year has been better than the first half, given the Christmas festivities in the international markets and given the annual closing and inventory buildups in the domestic markets and even internationally. So that is a valid observation from a past data point of view.
Right. Would the current crisis in Europe and US dampen the festive mood in any ways? I mean, as in probably if you could just give me a ballpark number on it, there is could be 4 or 5% drop in volumes overall, just because of what is going on.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said, the currently there's a recessionary environment leading to, you know, trade rates not seeing the uptick. But as I explained, we had those challenges in the quarter gone by and we dealt well with them, and we hope to deal well by maintaining or growing our volumes despite all adversities.
Sir, if you could, I just want to know this. It is stated that Alcargo, as in your presentation, it is stated that Alcargo has acquired 150,000 shares of GKEPL for a total consideration of 406 crores. So if you could just give some idea, because I joined the call late, so...
Yeah, so basically, you know, Alcargo Group had decided to acquire Gati a couple of years ago, and there was a well laid out strategy and discussions with various stakeholders, including erstwhile promoters and the joint venture partners. We executed the acquisition of erstwhile promoter stake, followed by an open offer, and the discussions with the joint venture partner were to engage at a certain time frame in certain terms and conditions, which have been discussed now. And between Alcargo Group and KWE Group, we share a very long history of a strong business relationship. This is a transaction which has been mutually agreed to. It's a private transaction, and this basically entails Alcargo Logistics largely using our own internal accruals, acquiring 30% stake in the GKEPL. This is basically a reinforcement of our belief in Gati's growth potential and the management team, and we are confident that the business will continue to grow well, and that is why Alcargo Logistics Board approved further investment. So that's in short about the transaction.
Right. So indirectly, so indirectly, there won't be any change in the, as in the shareholdings of Gati, right? Or would there any, be any?
There won't be any change in the shareholding of Gati. Just that the 30% shareholding held by KWE earlier would now be held by Alcargo in the operating subsidiary GKEPL.
Okay. Okay. That way. Right. Okay. Fine. That's all from my side. Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Jhakar for closing comments. Please go ahead, sir.
Yeah, thank you. And thank you, everyone, for joining us for this call, and hope we have been able to answer your query. And I would request you to go through the investor presentation, which provides various data points and information in a much more detailed and comprehensive way. The same has been uploaded on the exchanges and also on our website. So you may please refer to the same. Thank you very much. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, on behalf of Batliwala and Karani Securities, that concludes this conference call. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.